Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It could happen here, Rail Strike Edition. I'm Robert Evans. Garrison Davis. Chris, how are we all doing? How's this? We're talking about a rail strike today.
We're praying for it. So
this,
bad.
We're praying for it. It hasn't happened. If you're listening to this, you probably know the broad strokes of this, which is that the people who make the trains go, and by the way, trains are like a critical part of us all not starving to death or running out of insulin or whatever. The people who make those trains go have a pretty hard job, and there's not a lot of them. And for a variety of reasons that boil down to companies not wanting to spend money, it's impossible for that. They don't get sick days. So there were a bunch of other things that were shit about the job, including pay, especially since rail company profits have been at like record levels. So they were threatening to strike. There were union negotiations. Some of the union leaders reached an agreement with the rail companies, but it didn't include the sick days. So a lot of workers, potentially most of them, were at least willing to strike. And then Biden came in and had Congress basically say, do the same thing Reagan did to the air traffic controllers in the 80s, where it's like, no, if you strike, it's illegal because this is too critical a service for the country. Anyway, that's broadly the situation. Chris, you know this a lot better than I do.
Yeah. The most pro-labor president.
The most pro-labor president.
Oh, my
president.
God. Okay. It's very frustrating. I want to put this out. I think this is actually like...
That's I don't know. My knowledge, and I think that's close to a layman's knowledge. So I'm waiting for you to fill in the gaps.
Okay, all right. Let's start with what Biden has actually done, because it's slightly different than what Reagan was doing with the air traffic controllers. Part of the reason everything is fucked up with the railroads is that, like, railroads, almost since their inception, have had like an almost entirely different regulatory framework than like anything else. So, you know, your normal strike is covered by the National Labor Relations Act, right? You go through your National Labor Relations Board, you do your votes, blah, 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 blah. If your railroad workers are not covered by that, they're covered by something called the Railway Labor Act, which lets Congress just be like, no, fuck you, you have to take this contract. And the other thing it does is, I mean, there is like a, it is a...
Oh, I didn't realize that. So well before like, you know, the modern era and Reagan did his shit with the air traffic controllers, it was written into the law that Congress could say like yay or nay to a rail strike. That's really interesting. I guess that probably goes back to the days when they were literally making them out of human bones.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been, so it's been amended over time, and it's changed a bit. And there's some other stuff that happened in the 90s after there was a failed rail strike in the 90s where Congress is also just like, no, fuck you. You have to take this contract. But yeah, the important thing about this is that, like, okay, so in order to even potentially strike, you have to go through so much bullshit. It's called self-help in the law. Like, the people have been trying to strike for 2 years, and everything that we're seeing now is the product of 2 years of bullshit. Of these, like, there's all of this nonsense you have to go through. There's these, like, cooling off, mandatory cooling off periods. You can't, like, you have to, like, wait before you do anything else, and you have to go to the next step. And the final step is Joe Biden had the choice to either let these rail workers strike and actually get the things that they fucking needed, or he could tell them to fuck off and just eat a contract. And that's what's happened right now, is that Joe Biden has just, and I also, again, with the support of both houses of Congress. And yeah. I also, like, explicitly yeah. want to mention here that a lot of nominally socialist politicians, including, like, AOC,
a lot of social Democrats have signed.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Voted, let's, yeah, voted. Let's talk about that too, because that's another part of it that, again, so my surface, and I guess I'm playing the podcast idiot in this one, which is not abnormal for me. But my, like, layman's understanding of what happened with this is that there was a bill up in Congress as to whether or not to endorse this. And a bunch of progressives said that they wouldn't vote on it unless it included 7 days of paid sick leave, including Sanders. That got pushed off into a separate bill. And there was, like, some kind of sketchy wording about, like, well, we won't, you know, like, I don't 100% understand the congressional hijinks, but I know they just wound up voting for the negotiate, like, what the union had negotiated without any sick leave. Like, it seems like it kind of provided an opportunity for a bunch of progressives in the House to vote yes on the sick leave, knowing that it wouldn't pass the Senate and knowing that the strike would still get stopped. Right? Like, what am I missing there?
I mean, it's basically that. Like, the
I'm not a Congress knower.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of sort of hijinks that were happening in Congress where there was a slightly different version of the bill in the House, and they had this whole thing. But okay,
The House one for sick leave did pass with support of every Democrat and three Republicans.
But okay, the thing I want to point out here, and I want to move away from the sick leave thing, because the fact that these people don't have sick leave is important. This is also not, like, the main thing the strike was about. Like, things are so much worse. Like, things are so much, like, infinitely worse than people, like, at all understand. Like, what the thing this rail strike is about, if you go, like, actually talk to the people who are doing it, is that these people are on call for 90% of their lives. Like, and when I say 90% of their lives, they are on call while they're asleep. They're on call constantly. There's no way to plan a consistent sleep schedule, because you can just be on call. And, you know, part of what's going on here, and if you read the sort of detailed accounts, you will see a lot of people talking about this thing called precision scheduled railroading. Yeah, precision scheduled railroading was it was a great theory, kind of, that was implemented so atrociously badly it's basically fucked, like, the entire economy. The idea behind it was, like, you could schedule when, like, a freight railroad was going to go, right? And this would give you a bunch of efficiency bonuses. You could plan, like, you could schedule things around each other. This just didn't happen. People implemented it, but what they implemented was just this nightmare, like, amalgamation of, we're going to reduce a bunch of staff, and then we're going to make these trains that have, like, 200 fucking cars on them. And this has been a catastrophe. It's called Monster Trains. There's Justin Rozniak, who's a podcaster.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good solution to the problem of not enough guys to make trains work is make the trains huge.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like it's destined to end in horrible train crashes.
It's awful. Like, these trains are nuts. And again, these things are 200 trains long, right? So if you don't get the weight distribution right, the train will fucking fall over. They keep doing this. This has been happening for, like, several years now. Is there's just trains everywhere derailing. There's, like, no coverage of it. The reason there's no coverage of it is because
there's been a bomb. You know where I knew that from, Chris? Garrison will tell you. When I get drunk or something late at night, my favorite thing to watch is videos of trains hitting stuff. Train crashes are amazing to watch. It's incredible to think of all the human ingenuity it took to make that big thing go boom.
There's thousands of videos on YouTube of a semi-truck's cargo getting stuck on train tracks. And a train just plowing through there.
Yeah.
And you get to see Amazon boxes being pulverized in the air.
They get vaporized. It's so cool.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
So the downside is that one day we're going to have one of these trains that is run by a person who has had 3 hours of sleep in the last 48 hours, and it's going to be carrying like fucking... I don't know, it's going to be carrying, like, sodium nitrate on it or some shit. And it's just going to explode, and it is going to kill an enormous number of people. This actually happened in Canada, like, a decade ago. But, yeah, like, these trains are too big. They're so big, they don't fit in the fucking rail yards. Like, they're so big that most of the train infrastructure doesn't work for them. They are so... The other thing is, okay, they're really, really, really badly planned, despite the fact that this is supposed to be precision scheduled railroading. Like... They're unbelievably badly planned. You have people just like being forced to just like sit there for 12 hours in a train, waiting for the rest of like the other like 95 cars that are supposed to be on this train to show up. You know, the situation is like is utterly nightmarish. And the other thing about this, right, is if you're an engineer, right, and you're in one of these trains and you're sitting there for 12 fucking hours in this train, you legally can't have your phone. Because, you know, I mean, this is a safety thing, right? And in some sense, this makes sense as like a safety measure. You can't have your phone because... You know, you can't be distracted while you're driving, but you're just fucking sitting on the tracks for like 12 hours. And, you know, this stuff is, you know, and the fact that people are on call constantly, the fact that the entire rail network is just physically falling apart, because the other thing about these trains, right, is they make an enormous amount of money. None of them ever fucking show up on time. It's a disaster. It's a catastrophe. Like genuinely, like part of the reason why we're having all these supply issues is that no train has fucking showed up on time in like 4 years.
And but it's okay. Because of this the new bullshit. Contract. It's okay that the new contract signed in says that workers can have up to 3 unpaid days off for medical appointments.
Oh wow, that's something.
Yay!
It's bullshit.
3 like, unpaid days off for pre-made medical appointments.
Yeah, none of
solving
which...
the problem forever.
Yeah, and again, like these people are on call for 90% of their lives. You can't even like. Like, you can't schedule when you're going to sleep because you might be on call. And on call might be you have to fucking, like, drive, like, several hours to a place so you can get on a train and the train cannot leave. And the train eventually leaves, like, 6 hours later and you fucking drive. And then you're just, like, dropped off somewhere in the middle of fucking nowhere. And then unpaid, you have to go back to, like, where you live. It is, like, The thing I want to like get out of this is like the railroading system in general, the system of freight railroading that we have in the U.S. is in the midst of collapsing. Like it is falling apart. It is not working. It is becoming increasingly dangerous. It is, I mean, utterly inhumane for the people working on it. And you know, none of the fucking even the sick bill contract like didn't do anything for it. Right. The only way this actually could have been resolved is if Joe Biden and if the Democrats and if Congress hadn't been fucking cowards and had let these people strike. Because these kinds of concessions, like, and you know, I also like, I don't want to let the fucking unions off the hook here too, because they know all of this. But again, most of the sort of like senior union people are very tight with the Democratic Party. This is part of why all of this shit was postponed till after the elections, because they didn't want to fucking deal with this shit. They've been trying to force people to sign this contract too, and it's a shit show. It is a just absolute catastrophe on every level.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost as if the rail system probably shouldn't be run by private interests.
No, shouldn't.
Yeah, because there's going to be now 115,000 rail workers who are forced to work under these still not great conditions. Meanwhile, the managers and the owners of the railroads get to go back to just making tons of money.
Record profits. None of this is happening. Not that that would make it okay, but none of this is happening in an environment where you know, we're running at a loss and we have no money and no ability to they're making hundreds of billions of dollars in profit.
Like this is like one of the most profitable times to run a railroad in U.S.
And you
history.
Can incentivize more people to be railroad workers if the job isn't a fucking nightmare. For example, what if instead of not being able to have their phones, we gave each of them a DVD player and a screen with a DVD of Step Brothers, and they could watch Step Brothers as much as they want while piloting a train?
I think that would actually I think that would cause mass layoffs at the rail yard. That's how we get the strike. We include this in the next provision. Then they'll be forced to strike.
I was stealthing in my accelerationist beliefs here. This is the fastest way I can destroy our transit infrastructure.
We've got 2 years before this whole thing fucking implodes anyways, because you know part of what's keeping people in the railroading system is that. So railroading also has its own pension system that's like disconnected from the regular pension system, and you have to work there for 10 years in order to collect your pension. This is why like enormous numbers of people just haven't left, right? And people have been leaving, right? But there's a huge number of people who were hired in these giant expansions in 2004, and it's one of those, you know, like we're 2 years out from that contract from all these people being able to collect their pensions and fucking leaving.
Yeah, when like, that happens, at that point, it's like this is the only chance I have to ever not work myself to death, so I have to tough it out.
Those people are going to leave, and you know this is the sort of hammer that capitalism has built over its own head, which is that like, yeah, congratulations, you successfully flexibilized and casualized your entire workforce. That means that if people like don't want to do your shitty job, they can leave and find another job. And at some point, like there is shit that in this economy that like actually does need to be done. But these people have been sort of like so blinded by just like, you know, they're so blinded by line goes up. They're so blinded by short-term profit that they really don't understand that at some point there's just not going to be fucking workers to run the railroad.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of this situation is built off of, instead of being compared to Reagan's stuff with air traffic controllers, it's actually more similar to what Carter did with some airline workers. Then also with the 1980 kind of a Railroad Deregulation Act, which gave a lot more power to companies to run the railroads, and that is what kind of shifted things to our current problem, because it gave permission for these rail companies to close down lines that were less profitable and to set their own freight rates. And it's not being controlled by the Interstate Commerce Commission. Instead, it's being controlled by private equity.
That thing's weird, right? Because like, on the one hand, like the wave of corporate consolidation that happened after that is like a disaster, and the fact that there's basically like four real like rail companies now is a disaster. On the other hand, like it is also true that the Interstate Commerce Board was like dog shit at its job.
No, it also sucked. And for a short, like, yes, absolutely. It sucked. Yeah. And for a short period of time, it actually did improve things.
Yeah, it just got worse.
Now it's powers coalescing again into the very types of monopolies that caused railroad regulation to be necessary back in the 19th century, like in the first place. Power is being consolidated again, and it's this vicious cycle that fundamentally puts short-term profits above the conditions of workers.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, okay, so there have been a lot of people talking about, like, what the potential solutions to this are in a sort of macro sense, because, like, okay, even with a better contract, right, like, something actually has to be done in order to force the railroads to not fucking suck and to, like, actually properly schedule their goddamn trains and not work everyone to death. And, you know, I want to put it is worth noting, like, we actually did, like, have a nationalized railroad company for a while.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shit show. Like, and this is something that's also important to think about. This, like, there's a lot of different kinds of nationalization, right? Like, there is a huge difference between a firm that's, like, we sort of technically nationalized a bunch of the, like, car companies after 2008, right? We bailed them out. But, you know, like, in that stuff, we didn't really, like, take a we owned like a bunch of their stock. We didn't, like, take a controlling interest in how
everything ran.
There's
no say in how they run or how they treat their employees.
And like, we got, like, Nixonite, like, proto neoliberal nationalization of the railroads last time, and it kind of contributed to some of the problems we have now. There was also a period where Conrail's union was trying to, like, buy, like, the railroad. So we almost got a railroad system that was run owned by its own union, and then the company just, like, refused to sell it to them because they were like, wait, no, hold on, we can't have a worker run railroad. But
one thing I am interested in is I don't actually know this. How would an illegal strike actually work? Like, what is the differences between people striking illegally now? Like, there's some discussion of that. Who knows if that's actually going to happen, but what is the main kind of difference between that and the non-illegal strikes?
So the thing about the National Labor Relations Act, right, which is the thing that covers normal strikes, was that, like, and this is also true to some extent under the robot, like, okay, so if you're doing a legal strike, you have legal protections, right? Like, there are things corporations can't do to you. There's a bunch of stuff that can't, like, I don't know, explain it. Like, it's a lot harder to just sort of fire people. The other thing is that also, like, especially with something like this, there's a, like, if you do a wildcat strike like this, and specifically a strike that is specifically illegal under this act, like, you can all get fired. I think they could technically arrest you. Like, it's I don't know, that part of it's not exactly clear to me, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's sort of, like,
I feel like if they arrest you just for not going to your job, I feel like that is
that has happened to people. Like,
oh, I know people have been,
like,
murdered.
This is a thing.
In the long history of labor struggles, people have been straight up killed. But at least in 2022, I think it would be a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, so the other thing is,
I think where we're headed, and I think what they ought to do is just force, get all of, like, the worst criminals, and I mean the murderers, the terrorists, all of those guys, and you make them run the trains. Whoever blew up all of those power transformers in North Carolina, you make them run the trains, and it'll be fine. Nothing bad will happen as a result of this. It'll work out perfectly.
Well, the alternative plan, and the thing that maybe these rail companies are just holding out for, because maybe they're just making conditions be not great and underpaying and not giving sick days, is because they're waiting for trains just to become autonomous. They're already planning to severely cut down the crews that are on the trains. There's already trains in Australia that are totally autonomously run, that carry mining materials over for hundreds of miles. And that is the future that these companies want, because then they don't need to pay for employees to actually run the train.
Frustrating, because like in an actual, if we were anything that approached a society that like dealt with things ethically and humanely and equitably, then this would be good, like, because it seems like working on trains sucks, and it would be great if we could automate most of that work. And then less people would have to work in order to keep society running. But
Less people don't get even shittier jobs.
Yeah, we're just going to run through these people's bodies by, like, as we get up to automation, and then we will throw them away.
Yeah,
because they'll do it badly, there's going to be a disastrous train crash caused by the fact that they got all of the people off of a train hauling nitroglycerin or whatever, and it's going to destroy, I don't know, Duluth, which, you know, not the worst city to lose, but I sorry, Duluth, y'all are fucked.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Well, okay, it's worth mentioning, like, this stuff, like, the automation stuff is already happening, right? Like, I mean, it's, like, in a very real sense, that there's this sort of nightmare, one of the other sort of nightmare things that's going on right now is that there are these, like, I don't know, like, driver assistance programs, basically, that are being run on trains now, where, that are, you know, they're supposed to be, like, making decisions, like, for and with the drivers, but A, they suck ass. B, they're designed to basically maximize profitability, right? And the way you maximize profitability is by running trains really, really slowly. And, you know, that's contributing to the fact that every train is fucking late now and the freight system doesn't work. And the third problem is that these things keep fucking running trains off. Like, this is another reason why trains keep fucking crashing, is that they suck.
Yes.
They keep running trains off of tracks. And, like, you know, there's a lot of shit here, right? Because it's like, If you override the system, like, you can get disciplined for overriding the system. But then you have this sort of, like, you have this thing where it's like, okay, so do I get disciplined for overriding the system and not making the train crash, or do I just make the fucking train crash?
And they're like doing the trolley problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally, yeah, Justin Rogers talked about this a lot. Like,
I love that this is just gonna inevitably gonna result in an exact recreation of the trolley problem.
It's already, like, this is already happening to people, and it's just like it's none of this stuff works. Automation.
The AI
is
gonna make
bullshit.
Us crash into,
like,
this orphanage. I can divert it instead, hit this old folks home.
It's like, it's literally happening. Like, it's just like none of the stuff. Like, okay, the thing that's, like, frustrating about this, right, is, okay, if any of the people at the sort of like at the level of where they're planning these trains could even sort of do their job, right? This isn't even a thing that's like an inevitable contradiction between capital and labor. Like, this is just if any of these people could actually fucking schedule the railroads, which is the thing they're supposed to be trying to do, if they could actually schedule when the train was supposed to go and when it was supposed to leave, you wouldn't have these problems, because then all of the people who work there would also be told when the fucking train was leaving and they could schedule around it. But no, they can't fucking do it because they're too fucking lazy, they're too fucking stupid, and they don't want to spend the money to actually make any of these systems fucking work. And so the consequence is just this bullshit. And then also, because again, and this is everything, like, that, like, capital's also really falling down on the job here, because, like, the rest of capital needs to get their shit together and force the railroads to do something, because, like, it's your asses on the line too if this railroad thing collapses. But because of the sort of immediate amount of money that these shitty rail companies have pumped into Congress, they were able to buy people off. And the rest of capital was just like, we don't care. That's like 3 years out. We don't have to care about this shit. It's like, guys, like, Bernie Sanders is fighting to save capitalism, right? These people are trying to save you from yourselves. You won't even let them.
That's their entire job, though. Like, of course it, like, that's,
yeah.
That's
no, but like, that's the thing. Like, reason so they exist. What is happening here is that, like, is liberalism is running an accelerationist program to, like, cause the American infrastructure to fall apart, and social democracy is attempting to save capital from itself, and capital was like, literally, fuck you, eat shit.
No, I'm reading right now in an interview with a Railroad Workers United member, and they're talking about how, like, there's this plan to increase their pay 24% over the next 5 years, and he says that lots of the railroad workers that he's talked to as a part of the union is saying, like, people are willing to work for less money and take a job at, like, an Amazon factory or, like, a trucking job, because at least those offer slightly more consistent hours. And, like, yeah, like, it's
at least when you're not working, you're not working.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention that up because we were bringing up, like, how these people are getting not very good pay, which is true. But for a lot of people, it isn't even just a pay question. No, it's just overall working conditions. And, like, when you're thinking about moving to an Amazon factory instead because they have better working conditions, like, oh god.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, they've managed to create, like, one of the worst systems that is imposed on, like, any worker in the country. Like, it is genuinely stunning. And right now, again, they're getting bailed out, that people are by the fact that people are stuck in because they want their pensions, but, like,
As soon as those people are done and we start moving to more autonomous things, then it's not going to be worth it. I know media companies have spent decades trying to convince kids to work for trains, with Thomas the Train, Chuggington, for decades and decades. We've tried to send train propaganda to these kids, and I don't think they're going to buy it.
Yeah,
did you guys know that in Thomas the Tank Engine, canonically World War II happened, and canonically all of the diesel engines sided with the Nazis?
Well, that does it for us today.
That is official Thomas the Tank Engine lore.
Oh, God.
I wonder how many other Zoomers will sympathize with me on this. I recently found out that Thomas the Train wasn't just the uncanny train segments. They used to have live-action actors in, like, little intercut scenes.
Yeah. No, and it was fucked up.
By the time Thomas the Train was airing on television when I was a kid, all of those were re-edited. They had no live-action segments at all. It was all the weird stop-motion animation, which is still very uncanny with, like, the faces. But I had no idea until, like, a year ago that there was live-action actors in the original editions of Thomas the Train. Completely oblivious. Well, I'm glad we're going to have this important union discussion.
I am, too. I'm gonna admit to you all right now, there was a moment earlier where, Chris, you kept saying that the owners of the railroads were blinded. And I very nearly went into a bit where I just started reading the lyrics to Bruce Springsteen's Blinded by the Light. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Thank you for that.
I'm glad we were saved from that.
That's because nobody gets the lyrics to that one right because of the Manfred Mann's Earth Band version, which makes it sound like he's saying douche when he's really saying deuce and talking about an engine, which is why it would have been relevant to railroads, but None of y'all would have gotten that, and you would have fucking made a big thing about it on Reddit, so to hell with you all. Anyway, support rail workers.
If they do an illegal strike, make sure we set up things to, so that they get protected and they get food and,
yeah,
and things
go
to...
fight cops. Go make railway, like,
I mean,
people...
Keep an eye on what's going on, and if it happens, there will be ways to support these
overthrow
people.
Overthrow the U.S. government? Like, I don't know, things of this nature.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, but if we got to put a pin in that, you know, keep an eye on the situation, and if these people go on strike, there will be community resources and whatnot popping up to support the Wildcat strike. It's a thing that's happened before. Wildcat strikes have a long history in this country, too. You know, and we will be collecting resources if that happens for ways people can help with the Wildcatters. So this is a thing to have on the old noggin as we lurch forward into the holidays and possibly a gigantic labor battle. We'll see.
Like, people in the UK have been doing rail strikes for a good part of this year. Like, there's been on and off rail strikes for the most of the past few months. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Except again, they're the British, so they stopped doing the strike when the Queen died.
Look, there's certain realities that can't ever be eclipsed regardless of politics.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We have thrown off the shackles of the Anglos. All rail strike stops for no one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Except for the most pro-labor president, Joe Biden. All right, and that's the episode.
Yeah, that's the episode. And remember, if you see a diesel train, it is a Nazi. You are obliged to punch it.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.